فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صلوات. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us yet another opportunity to be present in the month of Ramadan and benefit from His endless blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited to His diyafat, and He is the host in this month, and the way He is hosting is unlike any other hosting. This hosting is providing us the opportunity, inshallah, to benefit from the blessings of the Wahi and Quran, which the Holy Book was revealed in this month. And this hosting and diyafat and mehmani is providing us the opportunity to get forgiven and have the maghfirat coming in our way. And this opportunity of diyafat gives us the chance to get cleansed from the ghaflat, means the state and condition of ignoring the presence of Allah in our life. And this ghaflat is the thing which causes all the sins. And this month also provides us the tawfiq to enrich ourselves with the moral attributes, akhlaq. As our scholars say, that for everything there is, like in the world, life, in the life of this world, the people have their financial fiscal years defined. It starts from such and such date and it ends on such and such date. Likewise in Islam, our moral fiscal year starts from the month of Ramadan. And this month of Ramadan is the only month, the month of Ramadan is the only month which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. This month has a significance unlike any other, and we have the night of Qadr in this month, and we have the rahmat and maghfirat of Allah more importantly in this month. Anyone who is unable to be affected and changed and overhauled and shuffled in this month is very less likely to get overhauled in any other month. So we as a responsibility should realize this great opportunity and tawfiq from Allah, so that we can benefit from the ma'ida, from the sufre and food spread, from the diyafat and hosting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His endless blessings. So this month, if a person, a mu'min, fasts by keeping away from the harams, which is the essence, that means all parts of our body have a share in the fasting. In that kind of fasting, if we do it, there is an ihtimal that we will end up becoming muttaqi and taqwa. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So there is an ihtimal that the taqwa will be the outcome and the end result of a fasting, which is there by abstaining from all the harams. And it is important to keep in mind that what in the hadith of Rasulullah, according to this narration in Biharul Anwar, the Prophet has said, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزَى بِهِ. In some of the narrations, وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. In some of the narrations, أَنَا أَجْزِي لَهُ. And some of the Urafa read this hadith as الصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أُجْزَى بِهِ. That means fasting is mine, and I am the one who is going to reward on that. That means Allah takes it personally. Not just that, but the second ray of recitation, like the Urafa had said, some of the Urafa mentioned, Ujza, Sighatul Majhul, it means that I am the reward for it. So for every ibadat, there is a reward which is mentioned. You pray, you get this much. You could give khums, you get this kind of reward and sawab. You do fitra, you get this kind of sawab. You go for hajj, you have this kind of sawab. Isn't it right? But for sawm and fasting, there is no sawab mentioned. It's Allah mentioned. Allah Himself is the sawab. Allah Himself is the jaza for fasting, according to that kind of reading of the hadith. So this, and then Prophet says, وَلِسَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانْ فَرْحَةٌ حِينَ يُفْتَرْ. A person who is fasting has two happinesses. One at the time when he does the iftar, and وَفَرْحَةٌ حِينَ يَلْقَى رَبَّهُ, and one happiness when he meets his Lord. So obviously we know we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of maut and death. So a person who has been fasting in a way that he abstains from the harams, he will be happy at the time of death. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ بِيَدِهِ. لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمْ أَطْيَبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. That means, I swear by the one who has the life of Muhammad in his control. That means Prophet is swearing by Allah that the bad smell, which I'm not doing the exact translation, this is the, what we learn in the light of the narration, that the bad smell that comes from the mouth of a person who is fasting is more clean and tayyib in the eyes of Allah than the smell of musk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving what the Sa'im is doing for his sake. We find that the subject of my speeches in these nights in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, I have intention to talk about the huruf al-muqatta'at, inshallah, and the tafsir of the huruf al-muqatta'at in the Holy Quran in the upcoming nights. But the first night, the first day, as always, I would like to mention a few things about the fasting and some of the rulings related to that. So our youth, our children, and also the elders are reminded about these things, and we make sure our fasting is up to the mark. So fasting is one of the three things that Prophet used to love, because he has said, according to this hadith which is narrated in Al-Mawa'idh Al-Adadiyya, that Prophet said, أَنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا أُحِبُّ ثَلَاثَةَ أَشْيَاءَ. I love three things from dunya. الصَّوْمُ فِي الصَّيْفِ, fasting in summer, And alhamdulillah, we find that this year it's fasting is coming in the summer season, isn't it right? So we have longer days and shorter nights, but still it's not that hot in Seattle at all. It's very easily bearable, alhamdulillah. Even if it was hot for a mu'min, it does not make a difference. We are doing it for the sake of Allah, and we are getting the rewards for that, and we are fulfilling our obligation. It is not as hot as it used to be in Mecca, isn't it right, when the Prophet was there. So he has been doing the fasting in the possibly the hottest season on the planet. So أنا من الدنيا أحب ثلاثة أشياء الصوم في الصيف. The first thing is fasting in the summer, and والضرب بالسيف, that means hitting with the sword, jihad fi sabilillah. The Prophet loves the jihad fi sabilillah. And wa ikram of life, that means honoring the guest. So honoring the guest is another value that Prophet used to love. That was the sunnat and sirat of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, who used to stand outside his house waiting for the arrival of the guest so he can eat along with the guest, and he doesn't have to end up eating the food alone. Islam has been emphasizing on that, and also we find so much emphasis about the fast, about the taking care of the feeding of others in the month of Ramadan. And this is considered to be one of the benefits that we should get from the month of Ramadan, is that we should empower ourselves to make sure that we feed others. The narration from Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Awwal, which is Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam, says, in Furu'ul Kafi, according to that narration, that fitruka akhaka as-sa'im afdal min siyamika. That means you feeding or breaking the fast of your brother who is fasting. That means if you provide food to your brother who is fasting, so he can break the fast upon your food, this is superior than your fasting. So the reward that we get in fasting is less than as compared to the reward that we get upon providing food to our mu'min brother who is fasting, and he breaks his fast upon your food. So also we find that this condition of fasting makes us, when we are in the condition, in the state of fasting, we are constantly doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every breath that we take during the fasting is taken as ibadat of Allah. Anfasukum fihi tasbih. Isn't it right? So the breaths that you take in fasting is considered as tasbih and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that in the hadith of Rasulullah, which is narrated by Shaykh Saduq in Thawab al-A'mal, according to that narration, Prophet said, "As-sa'imu fi ibadatillah wa in kana na'iman." A person who is fasting, he is in the ibadat of Allah. That means you are constantly doing the ibadat. You are counted to be in the eyes of Allah that you are constantly doing the ibadat, even though you may be sleeping during the fast. And so you are counted to be in doing the ibadat of Allah. Even though a person is sleeping, he is counted like that. Na'iman ala firashihi, even though he's sleeping on his bed. Ma lam yaghtab musliman, until he doesn't do the ghibat of a Muslim. So obviously ghibat of a Muslim is a extremely bad and a condemned haram in Islam, but every haram is like this. Prophet has, according to the narration, just mentioned one of the sins. So this sin is there, but the point is that the rest of the sins are also like this. And any of the sin that a person performs would basically damage his fasting. You know, fasting has three levels. One is the fasting which our scholars say, Sawmul Awam. Sawmul Awam means people, the regular people of the society, they think that they should abstain from drinking and eating. And that's what it takes for fasting. This is called Sawmul Awam by the scholars of Akhlaq. This is not considered to be fasting in the eyes of Allah at all. But this is what the regular people think. This is all what it takes to become a sa'im, a person who is fasting, to abstain from eating and drinking. This is not fasting in Islam. Now, the second level of the scholars of Akhlaq say is Sawmul Khawas, fasting of the special people. And that is that we have every part of the body having a share in fasting, so we abstain from the harams of the eyes, the ears, the tongue, the hand, the feet, the stomach, the private parts, the, you know, every part of the body is feeling the fear of Allah. It's not stepping beyond the red lines, and it's remembering Allah, and it's not becoming ghafil and ignoring the presence of God. So when this kind of fasting is there, this is called Sawmul Khawas. That means that's the fasting of the special people, and this is the fasting which Islam considers to be fasting. And for this kind of fasting, the Prophet had said in his hadith, our scholars say the hadith of the Prophet applies on this kind of fasting where Prophet had said, "As-sawmu junnatun minan nar," fasting is a shield from the fire. So when does the fast become a shield from the fire, shielding away the flames of the hell away from me when I'm abstaining from the harams? The third fasting is the Sawm of Khasul Khawas. Those people who are extremely special people, who are the special among the special, you know, the cream de la cream, like they say. So those kind of special people, their fasting is that they don't even think about anything which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghayrullah. They don't even imagine anyone or anything other than Allah during their fast. If a person is fasting of that kind of fasting in that way, that in his minds and imaginations, forget about thinking of haram things, forget about thinking of the makruh things, forget about thinking of anything that Allah dislikes. They don't even think about anything other than Allah. Well, that's the level of awliyaullah, the beloved servants of Allah. And that's how the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam were. And this kind of fasting, our Urufa say that, the hadith of the Prophet, the hadith in Qudsi, which I mentioned, narrated through the Prophet in the beginning of my speech, that Allah has said, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi," or "ujza bihi," however it may be recited. So fasting, it belongs to me, and I am going to reward for that, or I am the reward for that, depending on how we read the hadith, two possible ways in the grammar. So scholars of Irfan say that hadith al-Qudsi applies in the case of this third level of fasting, where a person doesn't even think of anyone other than Allah. So his reward is nothing but Allah. Nothing can be his reward other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, first kind of fasting is Sawmul Awam, breaks by eating or drinking. Yeah, if you, as soon as a person who is simple-minded, ignorant person, doesn't know about the rulings of Islam, so he thinks that he abstained from eating and drinking, and that's what it takes. So when he eats or drinks, his fast is broken. He may be doing harams in his life, isn't it right? He may doesn't think of making a change, making a behavioral change and moral change and spiritual change, because this month is all for the change. So we end up becoming muttaqi, isn't it right? There are some people who don't think of making a change in their life. So if I'm doing four harams in my life, God forbid, and the month of Ramadan comes, and throughout the month I continue to do the same four harams, business as usual, I don't even think on those lines. Is there anything I need to make a change in my life? Is there something, why in the world my spiritual affairs are stuck with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's not moving forward. Why? This is the time to think, you know, to revisit our own spirituality. What's gone wrong in my spirituality? So why is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding the way He responds to so many others when it comes to me? So why is my spirituality not advancing? So this is going to happen when a person abstains from the harams. Some of the times a person doesn't realize the harams. Sometimes he realizes what haram is, but he is doing out of stubbornness or convenience. So that's the lifestyle, you know. Some people are just, you know, cowards. Some people are cowards because they are interacting with non-Muslims. They don't want the non-Muslims to feel bad, so they will continue to do what they like to do so that the non-Muslims are, you know, feel comfortable with them. So they are cowards. They are cowards and they don't have the courage to live with their own values. So whatever be the reason of a person doing harams, so Somul Khawas breaks. In the eyes of the Khawas, their Som, their fasting is damaged and harmed as soon as they do a haram during the fasting. Forget about eating and drinking. That the Khawas are not going to do, obviously. They are not Awam. Even the Awam don't do that, usually, isn't it right? Or none of them do that, basically. But as soon as they end up doing a haram, whether a person is sitting on Facebook, he's sitting on internet, he's doing, going for work, on job, he's, you know, whatever they may be doing in their life. As soon as a person commits a haram, looks at a non-mahram with lust, one looking is haram, is that right? So, as-an-nawrato sahmun min sihami iblis. Looking at non-mahram with lust, an-nahar looking is an arrow, among the arrows of iblis. So, iblis has ways. He's not dumb. He knows how to deceive which person is going to be falling in the trap. How? He adopts various ways for various people. There is no one standard way for everybody. No. For every person has a different way, you know. You remember the story that this person saw Shaitan in his dream. Please say salawat. So this person saw Shaitan in his dream, and Shaitan was carrying various types of ropes with him, and some were thick and some were thin, and one rope was really thick, and he asked Iblis, well, why the ropes? Why are you carrying the ropes with you? And Iblis said in the dream, well, these are the ropes that I use as traps to trap various types of people in the society. So some people, just, you know, thin rope is enough for them. For some people, I need to have thicker ropes to deceive them. So he said, okay, I understand, but what about the thickest one? He said, well, that thickest rope is for Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh al-Ansari, rahmatullah alayhi, a great marji of ours of that time. Isn't it right? He was the marji of that time. Sahib al-Rasail wal-Makasib. Those two remarkable books of the history, I remember Ayatullah al-Uzma Mishkini rahmatullah alayh was saying in one of his lessons that Ayatullah Mishkini was the Imam al-Jum'ah of Qom, and Ayatullah Mishkini was the head of the Majlis Ahl al-Khibra, Madrasa Khubregan, how they say in Farsi, and he was also the Mudarris of Akhlaq in the city of Qom. So he was a very great mujtahid, not an ordinary person. So I remember Ayatullah al-Uzma Mishkini was saying that any person who can understand one page of the book of Makasib properly, he is a mujtahid. If you can understand one page of the book that Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh al-Ansari has written down, if you are able to understand, you may be a double PhD from Harvard in Arabic sciences, but you cannot understand a single page. You cannot, I repeat, you cannot understand a single page of his book until you are a mujtahid. Because there's so much between the lines. There's so much between the lines. So if one page is understood by a person, it takes ijtihad to understand it. So that kind of mujtahid, which is unique in our glorious Shia history. So Shaitan said, well, the thickest rope is for Ayatollah Sheikh Ansari, so I will try my best to deceive him. So this guy said, well, do you have any rope for me? He's seeing the dream, you know. He said, well, you don't need any rope. You are already in my trap without any rope. So some people are already in the trap of Shaitan, and they basically don't, they are self-driven towards the harams. This month of Ramadan is the best opportunity to get back to ourselves. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, according to how it's narrated in Biharul Anwar, that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inna Allah wakkala malaikatahu bid-du'a lis-sa'imin. Allah has assigned His angels to do dua for those who are fasting. So we should remember that when we are fasting, we will be included in the duas of the innocent and infallible angels, and obviously the duas of the infallibles are not rejected. So also we find that in another narration from Rasulullah, according to how it's narrated in Bihar, Prophet has said, "Inna lil jannati baban yud'a ar-rayyan." Certainly, paradise has a door which is called Rayyan. La yadkhulu minhu illa sa'imun. No one would enter through it except those who fasted, the sa'imun. So basically, those people who have fasted, they deserve to enter through that door. So our scholars say fasting is unique there as compared to the rest of the worships in Islam. Rest of the worships in Islam, when you perform, you are known and recognized by the people around you. If you are praying, those who are around you can discover you are doing an ibadat. Isn't it right? When you give khums, it's known you are giving the khums. When you give fitra, when you go for hajj, isn't it right? The rest of the worships of Islam, when you perform, it is known and recognized. Whereas the worship of fasting is a worship which is unique, that you are not known and recognized by the people and humans. No one discovers you are fasting except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So unless you tell it to the people yourself, and we're not supposed to tell any to anybody, even if a person is inviting you and you are fasting as a mustahab fast, isn't it right? Which is so good, Islam says all the maraji agree, hafadahum Allah ajma'in, that if a person invites you and you are doing a mustahab fasting, you are not even supposed to tell, brother, I'm fasting, don't offer me the food. Why are you saying that? That would be riya, that would be showing off. Why are you informing another person that you are fasting? Unless there is a maqul, there is an, you know, Islamically justifiable and intellectually justifiable reason for you to mention that you are doing, you want to encourage the people, let's suppose, so that they also learn to fast the mustahab fastings. Some kind of justifiable reason for you to mention that you are fasting. Otherwise, why are you mentioning it? So you need to just break your fast upon the da'wat and invitation of a fellow mu'min brother and not even tell him that you are fasting. There's no need to tell him. And you get more sawab and reward on breaking your fast as compared to the point if you were continuing with your fasting. And we already learned earlier from the earlier hadith which I told you, according to that narration, the hadith of Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam had said, fitruka akhaka al-sa'im afdal min siyamika. You breaking the fast of your mu'min, of your brother, is superior than your fasting. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 82 surahs of Quran in the city of Mecca when Prophet was there before his migration to Medina. In 13 years, 82 surahs were revealed. Then when Prophet migrated to Medina, So we find in those 13 years of his stay in the city of Medina, the next 32 surahs were revealed. That totals up to 114, 82 and 32. So in the 13 years of the stay in Makkah, we find 82 surahs were revealed, and in 10 years of stay in Medina, we find 32 surahs are revealed. The surahs related to the stay in Makkah are mostly related to usul and aqaid. Usuluddin, the fundamentals of Islam, the roots of the religion, the beliefs of Islam, and some of the rulings. Mostly it's related to those kinds of it's connected to the i'tiqad and aqidah and usul and some ahkam as well. So, but the 32 surahs in the 10-year stay of Medina, that's where you find the ahkam and rulings come into the revelation. Furu'uddin are now revealed. So first Allah is establishing the aqidah and the beliefs of the people. In the 13 years of Prophet's stay, Allah is establishing the foundations of the beliefs. And now that the beliefs are established and the migration takes place and Prophet goes there, so now we find the ahkam are revealed. So all the various types of ahkam which are related to the society or the human and the moral and the maddi and the ma'navi, various types of ahkam have been revealed in that stay. So now we find in the first year of the hijrah of the Prophet, when Prophet migrates to Medina, in the first year of the hijrah, salat and the prayers becomes wajib in the Muslims. It was not wajib in the people to pray initially. Prophet used to pray, but not the people, not the Muslims. So prayers becomes wajib according to the narration in the first year of the hijrah, 52 days after the stay of the Prophet in Medina. And that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strengthening the relation of the humans with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prayers is our strengthening and establishment of the strong relation and elevation of our spirituality through the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the first year of the hijrah, we find that fifty-two days, which I mentioned. I apologize. That's about the brotherhood, and muakhat, which was established by the Prophet, took place 52 days after Prophet's arrival in Medina. So there were two major incidents taking place in the first year Hijrah. First was muakhat. That means Prophet established brotherhood. So every person from the muhajirin, the migrants, was made a brother to every person of the Ansar, the helpers of Medina. So the migrants and Ansar were made brothers towards each other, and everyone became a brother towards someone. That happened 52 days after his stay, and also in the first year of the migration, first hijrah. And Prophet did not make Imam Ali alayhi salam a brother to anyone. And when Imam Ali complained, but he puts up the issue in front of the Prophet, that's where the Prophet says, according to that narration, أَمَا تَرْضَىٰ أَن تَكُونَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَىٰ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. Are you not pleased that you towards me are on the status of Harun towards Musa, except that there is no Prophet after me? So Prophet has left Imam Ali for himself, and Imam Ali salam is the only person in the entire humanity who has the right to claim that I am the akh of Rasulullah, I am the brother of Rasulullah. No one else has the right to claim this status, and this status itself is enough to understand the azamat and greatness of Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. And remember in Hadith al-Qisa,
so see, the du'as of Ahlul Bayt and Ziyarat are the best source of the ma'arif. You cannot find the ma'arif of all the things that our Urufa mention in their detailed books are taken from the Quran and the du'as and the ziyarat. And we find in Hadith al-Qisa, when Imam Ali alayhi salam seeks permission from Rasulullah to come and join inside the Qisa, along with Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein and along with Rasulullah. So when he seeks the permission, Prophet says, "Wa alayka salamu ya akhi wa wasiyi wa sahiba liwa'i." Isn't it right? Salam to you, my brother. So Prophet brings the title of being the brother ahead of everything else. Wa wasiyi, in my deputy, wa sahiba liwa'i, and the carrier of my flag. Imam Ali was the carrier of the flag of Rasulullah in the life of dunya and is the carrier of the flag of Rasulullah on the day of judgment, which is called Liwa'ul Hamd. The flag Liwa'ul Hamd was delivered to the Prophet at the occasion of Bi'sat by the angel to him. So we find in the first year of Hijrah, these are the two major incidents taking place. One is the Mu'akhat, and one is the Wujub of Salat, Salat becoming Wajib. So Salat used to be 10 rakats earlier, and then it became 17, according to the narration of Salman al-Farisi, rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi. So, in the second year of the Hijrah, when things move forward, we find there were several incidents taking place. So, one of the incidents was the Taghyirul Qibla. The Qibla of the Muslimin, the Bani Israel were basically taunting, being sarcastic against the Muslims, that you people don't have a Qibla of your own. See, you all are bound to pray towards our Qibla, towards our city. First of all, is the city belongs to Islam, not to them. Isn't it right? Because Prophet Musa was Muslim. So it belongs to the Muslimin and the followers of the Prophet. So basically, the ayat of the Taghyir al-Qibla came in the second year of Hijrah, where Prophet is commanded to change his direction towards Al-Masjid al-Haram. And when Prophet was praying his prayers inside the Masjid al-Nabi, we find the prayers of everyone became batil, because there was no person who changed the direction of the Salat alongside with Rasulullah except Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. So Imam Ali was the only person. When Prophet, the ayat came, ayat arrived during the Salat of Rasulullah, when Prophet is leading the prayers during the Salat, the ayat came. As soon as the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet changes the direction towards, from Masjid al-Aqsa towards Masjid al-Haram, the Holy Kaaba. So we find it was only Imam Ali alayhi salam who changes his direction along with the Prophet. It was the job of all the people to do the same and follow the Imam al-Muslimin, who is the Ma'soom, the Rasulullah, and do what he's doing. But people were yet to learn the essence of walayat and imamat, that when the wali and mawla of your time is doing something, then you are obliged to do, and you are supposed to follow what your wali is doing. The people were not trained. So we find everyone's salat became batil. And in some of the narrations, Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, according to that narration, that I am the one who is musallil qiblatain, and I am the one who has prayed towards both the qiblas. Well, everybody could have claimed I prayed towards both the qiblas. Isn't it right? Because all the Muslims are praying towards the Aqsa. But the point to remember in the head, according to that, is that Imam Ali is the only person whose prayers was correct at the time when the ayat was revealed. Because all the rest of the prayers, their prayers became batil, they had to repeat their prayers. because they did not change according to the direction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So we find this is the one of the incidents that took place in the second year of Hijrah. And also the next incident that took place during the second year of the Hijrah after the migration of the Prophet was the wujub of Siyam. Fasting became wajib in the second year of the Hijrah, and that happens 1.5 years after the stay of the Prophet in the city. 13 days precisely after the hukum for Taghyirul Qibla arrived. 13 days after that, we find the wujub, the hukum of the wujub and compulsion of fasting came. So now fasting became wajib. Everyone is supposed to start fasting now. And we find that Prophet had delivered his famous sermon that inshallah sometime Allah gives us tawfiq so we can talk about the khutbah shahbaniyah. Beautiful sermon, just like any other sermon of the Prophet. Where he talks about the month of Ramadan, and you know, we learn so much from that khutbah. So Prophet delivered the sermon, and now the people are getting prepared for the fasting in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan in Arabic is derived from the word Ramz, and Ramz in Arabic means the rain that falls and on the stone. So just like in the you find in the when the there's a desert and the rain is falling down on a stone, it washes away the dirt or the soil or the sand which may have settled over the stone. Similarly, the month of Ramadan is supposed to serve for us in a way that just like the rain and it removes the dust and the sand from the stone and makes it clean. So it's supposed to make our souls clean from the harams and all the ghaflat and ignorance based behaviors towards Allah. So we find fasting became wajib for the first time. Quran has mentioned the ayat which I recited in the beginning, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, kutiba alaykum siyam. That means fasting has become wajib on you, has been written on you, it has been made faridah upon you, kama kutiba ala ladhina min qablikum, the way it was made a faridah on those who were before you, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may become muttaqi. So in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, according to this narration, he says that إِنَّمَا فَرَضُ اللَّهُ صِيَامَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانَ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ دُونَ الْأُمَمِ. Allah made the fasting of the month of Ramadan a faridah on the prophets, not the nations. So we understand in the line of this narration that one of the reasons why the ummah of Rasulullah is afdal and superior than the rest of the nations. One of the reasons we learn in another ayat where Allah says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." Isn't it right? So the ummah of Rasulullah we learn is the best of all the nations. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. The reason we learn in the line of the verse is that the ummah of Rasulullah performs amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar. So when we do harams taking place, we always, they are and there will always be, alhamdulillah, some scholars and some salih mu'mineen in the ummah of Rasulullah. They have been and there will be in the future some ulama and some salih mu'mineen who will continue to do the fariba of amr bil ma'ruf and the fariba of nahi anil munkar. And because of those scholars and because of those salih mu'mineen, the entire ummah of Rasulullah is getting the benefit because of the amr bil ma'ruf. You just compare the behavior of the ummah of Rasulullah to that of so many other ummahs who have changed their books and their religious leaders, they could not maintain the original text of the revelation of Allah because of the pressures of the elite upper class, influential classes of the society, who didn't want to give up adultery, who didn't want to give up alcoholism, who didn't want to give up womanizing, who didn't want to give up gambling, that they were into all those harams and the prophets were stopping. But their religious leaders didn't have the guts and courage and the audacity, and didn't have the spirituality powerful enough not to bend in front of the pleasures of the elite class, and thus the whole books were changed. And then you realize the azmat of the scholars of Islam who did not bend in front of the elite and upper classes of the society, isn't it right? Who still want to go for their pleasures and their worldly interests and their relations with the kuffar. So that's why we realize our scholars have the nuraniyat and they are mustajab al-da'wa. Their dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find one of the reasons why the ummah of the Prophet is superior is the amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. Well, despite the fact there are so many in the Muslim community who don't do that, some people want to maintain their good relations with the people, isn't it right? They want to continue to be in good books with the people. A person is doing haram. He's supporting the taboot. He's doing a haram job. He's selling haram things in his grocery store. But people still continue to have very nice relation with these people because our social links should not be harmed. So our links with Imam Sahib Zawana Islam is not important. Isn't that right? So some people do not do the Amr bil Ma'ruf, that's why they don't have the Noor. Whereas there are some who don't care about what the people say. They care about what Allah would say if we don't do that. So this is one of the reasons why the ummah of the Prophet is the most superior. And the second reason is what we learned here in our discussion tonight. That fasting was made a fariza on the Prophets, not on the previous nations. So whereas our nation is privileged enough to be able to get this fariza from Allah, so we have the opportunity to basically fast, and we have the opportunity to become the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the second major incident taking place in the second year of the Hijrah after the migration. The third major event that took place in the second year of Hijrah was the ayat of Zakat. Well, Zakat was always also was already revealed in Makkah. Some of the ayats were there, we talk about Zakat. So Zakat was already talked about in the Wahi and Revelation in Makkah. But the hukum came about taking the Zakat. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Now the ayat is commanding the Prophet to take the sadaqah from their money. So Prophet was obliged to take it from them. So just making it wajib is not enough. Prophet is supposed to take it from them. So now taking of the zakat came, this hukum arrived in the city of Medina, also in the second year of the Hijrah. So we find Prophet has the right to basically gather the tax from the people, isn't it right? He's entitled to gather the zakat from the people. So first of all, we find in the fourth major incident of the second year of Hijrah was the hukum of jihad. The hukum of jihad arrives in the second year of Hijrah. So now those people who are strong brothers towards each other, because of the muakhat and brotherhood happening in the first year, and those people who have the salat, that means they are supposedly establishing and strengthening their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people who have fasted in the second year of the Hijrah, which is cleaning their own selves and performing the jihad al-akbar, the bigger jihad, and those people who have paid the zakat, not just believe in it according to the ayat or ayat of Quran, they not only believe in that, but they have started to pay the zakat, so they are not attached to the maal and the money. Isn't it right? So this attachment is not there. So now they are, they have detached themselves from the belonging of the from the maal, and gone through the stage of this kind of tazkiyah. Now these people are finally eligible to do the jihad and defend Islam. Islam never wants to shed the blood of nobody. Islam is the most peaceful religion. You know, when we find in the West, the word jihad has been defamed internationally and intentionally by the media, isn't it right? Wherever we find in the same media of the West, Mujahideen used to be very nice people. When back then in the Soviet era, the Taliban were created by the West to fight against the Soviets. And the Western media was calling Mujahideen. Isn't it right? It became part of the encyclopedias and dictionaries. So jihad was not bad at that time because it was serving their interests. Despite the fact the same evil Taliban have been killing the Shias, innocent Shias in Afghanistan, isn't it right? But they were not terrorists at that time. We, the Muslims, are proud enough to call those evil Taliban terrorists back then when none of the people in the West were calling them as terrorists. So we have a higher value, moral value system. And jihad was not bad in those days in the Western media. All of a sudden jihad became bad. So, alhamdulillah, we are proud of the value of jihad in Islam, which stands for defending the religion of God and defending the humanity and defending the moral values of humanity. Not to shed the blood of humanity in various names of democratizing the Middle East, shedding the blood of innocent civilians. We proudly condemn the massacre of innocent civilians taking place. So jihad became wajib. There is no reason for a Muslim to shy in talking about jihad. It's a very holy principle. Isn't it right? Islam never sheds the blood of any innocent person. So jihad became wajib in the second year of the hijrah. And now after cleaning their own souls, they are empowered enough to stand and defend Islam from the battles which were waged by idol worshippers and mushrikeen, and in some of the cases the children of Israel who waged the war against Islam. So we find that if we are fasting with insincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, in the khutbah of Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, she talks about the wisdoms of the ahkam. And we find this khutbah of Hazrat Zahra is narrated by Hazrat Zainab, salamullah alayha. And she was just like 5 or 6 years old, approximately. Isn't it right? So she narrates that, you know, Abdullah ibn Abbas is the Rawi who narrates from Sayyidah Zainab salamullah alayha the whole khutbah of Hazrat Fatima alayha salam, and where she talks about the hikmat and wisdoms or the reasons of several ahkam of Islam, including jihad, including fasting. So she says in her sermon, فَرَضَ as-siyama tasbeetan lil-ikhlas. Ilal al-Shara'i of Sheikh Saduq narrates that. So according to that narration, that Allah made fasting a fariza, tasbeetan lil-ikhlas, to establish, to make it settled, to make the ikhlas settled. So that's how we find we settle our ikhlas and we become strong over the ikhlas through fasting. Isn't it right? So that's how we remember a few minutes ago I mentioned to you what our scholars say, that fasting is that unique ibadat which no one can discover unless you tell it to others. So it's already, it has all the means and tools to be only for the sake of Allah, because you are not here to mention it to anybody. Isn't it right? And it cannot be discovered by anybody unless you tell it by your tongue. So it's already easy to have ikhlas in the fasting. And we are supposed to strengthen our ikhlas in this month for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in another hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, which is also narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, according to the narration, Imam has said, As-siyamu wal-hajju taskeenu al-qulub. That fasting and hajj are taskeen. That means it makes provide the, you know, the peace and it provides the itminan for the qulub, in other words. So we find the dua of a mu'min is accepted. Our du'as are accepted at the time of iftar. When the time of iftar comes, one du'a is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a person who is fasting. So if we abstain from all the harams without exception in this duration of the fast, then one dua is confirmed to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find the hadith from Imam Abu al-Hasan alayhi salatu wa salam. According to this narration in Bihar al-Anwar, he says, دَعْوَةُ الصَّائِمُ تُسْتَجَابُ عِنْدَ إِفْطَارِهِ. The dua of a fasting person is accepted at the time of iftar. So when at the time of iftar you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your dua is going to be accepted inshallah. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ زَكَاتٌ. We find Amir Mumni alayhi salam has said that everything has a zakat. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ زَكَاتٌ وَزَكَاتُ الْبَدَنِ الصِّيَامِ. And that everything has a tax. And the tax of the body is fasting. So this is how we are paying the tax of our body. So it's very important, brothers and sisters, before I come to the end of my speech, that we remember the suffering of our fellow mu'min brothers in the Islamic Ummah. When we enter into the month of Ramadan, one of the wisdoms of this month, and it's fasting, our scholars say, is that لَيَسْتَوِي بِهِ الْفَقِيرُ وَالْغَنِيُّ. So that means the faqir and the ghani, the poor and the rich, becomes equal. Allah wants this to happen. The people are piling up the money more than their necessities of life with them. And there's a limited piece of pie. Whoever gathers any share more than his necessity is going to play a significant role in the life of the rest who are underprivileged. Isn't that right? Positively or negatively. So when Imam Sahib Zaman Islam comes, there are no financial classes remaining. All the humanity will be almost on the same financial level. So month of Ramadan empowers us to get back to our religion and its value system, and remember those mu'mineen and fuqara who are suffering. I'lam. So whatever you have more than your necessity of life, innama anta fihi khazinun lighayrika. You are khazin, you are treasuring the money belonging to other than you with you. If we understand this philosophy of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that whatever money is there more than our necessity, in other words, it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to others that I am piling up with me. So basically, we will play a significant role in the lives of others, and we will basically make sure that our responsibility in the towards the wisdom of the fast is completed. Let's make a commitment to ourselves. There's so much sawab in Islam to give sadaqah, but giving sadaqah on which land and which time makes a big difference in the extent of the sawab. If the same $1 you give it in the, any other month other than the month of Ramadan, it does not have that much sawab as compared to the fact you give the same $1 in the month of Ramadan. Let's make a commitment, as we are already stepping into the month of Ramadan and today is the first. Let's make a commitment to Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam that I will be giving sadaqah in the month of Ramadan, and I will be those who are able to sponsor poor people, those people who are able to sponsor the orphans, those people who are able to sponsor a widow. Let's make a commitment to the Imam of our time, who is taking care of all the orphans of Islamic Ummah are under his sponsorship. Isn't that right? So let's make a commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that any amount of money which I have more than my necessity, when I go through the hunger and thirst and I realize what happens to me in the city of Seattle where it's raining most of the times, but what is happening to those who have nothing to eat even in the hot weather, and even at the time of iftar they have nothing to eat. And so many people go hungry. Isn't that right? So let's make a commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will sponsor this much or this many orphans or widows in my life, so I can also show my face towards the Imam that I did not do khiyanat, I did not breach the covenant, I took my care of my responsibility towards the money which never belonged to me to begin with. It was an amanat of Allah given to me as a test. How we behave, how I behave towards that amanat. Everything belongs to Allah, but nothing belongs to us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. Before I end, I would like to shortly mention the fact that the niyats, as we are talking about the ikhlas and fasting, the niyats should be sincerely and only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our scholars have said that if a person makes his intention of fasting for Allah and for any other reason, this is not called ikhlas. It would be riya and the fast will be batil. So if a person brings any other person or benefit in mind in the niyat, well, let's suppose I'm fasting so that I can become slim. For example, just one example, you know, a person is dieting already, he wants the fasting to, okay, fine, alhamdulillah, finally we are in Ramadan, so it's going to help me in the dieting. So the part of my niyat is that the reason why I'm fasting is to get the benefit of dieting from that. So any kind of addition into the niyat related to a person or a benefit is going to invalidate the fast. So ikhlas means it has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah and nothing else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this kind of intention is going to make us get the rida and pleasure of Allah inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to benefit from the ziyafat and the hosting that Allah has done in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to benefit from His rahmat in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to benefit from His maghfirat from His this month. May Allah give us the tawfiq to benefit from the ma'idah of Quran, from the wahi and revelation that happened this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to benefit from the opportunity of tazkiyah and tathirul qalb in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to help our fellow mu'min brothers and sisters in this month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to benefit from the Laylatul Qadr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our fast full of ikhlas and sincerity towards Him. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Wakhzul al-Kuffar wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasar al-Din. Wakhzul man khadar al-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur wahfaz wa ayyid ulama'an al-Rabbaniyin. Wa maraji'an al-Rabbaniyin. La sayyim al-Waliyy al-Faqih qa'id al-Muslimin. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشيائه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.